Welcome this morning. Look forward to just good fellowship time and worship time. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you for every day. We just always want to keep that in mind, that they're a gift from you. And we ask your blessing this morning on all aspects of it. Just may we be encouraged and be encouragement to others, and that we just lift your name high this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The things that kind of been going around afflicting me for the last few weeks, that's why I wasn't here last week, but doing a little better this week, and so very thankful for that. And I guess this morning I just wanted to testify, have a testimony of God's faithfulness and giving wisdom. Had something come up this year, and this past week it kind of, I guess, the wisdom God gave Audrey and I back came, we got to see kind of a thank you, Lord. One of the enterprises I do on the farm is organic grapes, and so, if you know, it's a government national program that you have to be in, you have to be certified in, and so our certifying body, they do, you know, annual audits, and one of the issues is in our grapes, they've trellis and the treated posts, and it's kind of a gray area. Treated posts, you can't introduce treated posts into an existing organic vineyard, but if the treated posts are there after 36 months, they're good to go. But on top of that, some certifiers say, well, you still can't have any of the berries touch it. And other certifiers say, doesn't matter. 36 months, they're in there, no problem. My certifier that we, and Glenn too, Ben too, their rule is you can't touch. And so they have this kind of standing in their procedures because of the gray area, because the procedures is, well, we inspect and prune it off prior to harvest, you know, and I've talked to several people and say, just, that's what you got to do, and you just move on. Okay. And it kind of depends on who's coming out and inspecting, whether they are. It depends on which one you get and what questions they want to just ask, hard questions. Anyway, so I had an inspection in November for 2022, and then, bam, already again in March for the 2023 season. So it was fast, bam, bam. And this particular time, this particular inspector she wanted to see the documentation on where I specifically went out and did that for last year. Well, the truth is I didn't. And I, you know, you can kind of like stretch whatever side in the moment. I was like, no, I'm just asking you. I said, no, I didn't do it. And here's the reasons why. Yada, yada. She just wrote it down. I thought, I don't know where it's going to go, but I was honest. Well, it came back right after Boaz was born, actually, that, oh, that's a big deal. You have to do that. Even though I knew, according to the rules, you don't have to do it. It was the certifier they're saying that, no, we think you have to do this. Kind of an extra. And so it was busy time, just had Boaz. And so we could just kind of patch things up with them and say, okay, we're going to do it. Because all it is a matter of paperwork. You just write an email back and say, hey, we're going to do this. And then they're like, oh, okay, it's fine. But in the back of my mind, I thought, well, if we aren't intending to do what we have to do to satisfy them, which in the middle of a season, something you could do something in winter, when all the foliage is gone, you might make some work, but midstream is going to be very difficult. So I could tell like that's not really going to happen, but they may not ever ask again. It may be just fine. Or go to a different certifier, and we talked to the other certifiers. We laid exactly what the deal was, and they said, no, that isn't an issue to us. It's been there 36 months, which they've been here 8 years. Doesn't matter. So we hemmed and hawed. And it's not just like, oh, we're just going to switch. It's a bunch of paperwork, and I hate paperwork. And I'm busy already and all this stuff. And just praying through it. Audrey, I thank my wife. She was like, we can get it. We can do it. And she would help me out on getting all the forms, because the information's there, but you got to switch it over into their system instead of this other system. But she said, she just felt like, and not to mention, too, I would have to be double paying. I already paid for this certifier to certify me. I'd pay again for the same thing, just for them to put their stamp on it, and nothing would change in how I actually did things. But prayed about it, didn't have peace about just like patching it up and just going for it. We wanted to be with someone that we could be honest with and say, this is what we're doing, straight up. So we decided to do the work and did it. We got the process going. It had to be happened like that week because the process takes so long. Harvest is here in like 3 weeks. Anyway, so we just felt like we prayed about it and got the wisdom. We just did it. Did the work, Audrey helped, got it done. And it had another inspection. So I had 3 inspections in 12 months for 10 acres. Anyway, this week, it something happened. It was kind of like, thank you, Lord. Got a random phone call, number didn't recognize. I usually don't answer. Sometimes I do. Anyway, answer it. Hey, we're at your farm, unannounced inspection from the previous certifier that I was still current with. I just knew that it was not going to work out long. So it was it. And I just kind of thought, oh, wow, this is funny. So went back over there, and sometimes the unannounced is just a random selection. I knew this one was not. I knew it. And sure enough, she even said, here's the letter. This is why we want to inspect. Are you doing what your plan says? And I kind of was like, I don't want to waste time. I said, well, truth is, no, we can inspect it. No, it's not. And the reason is because I'm in process of switching. And so that's what it, and so she, it was like 5 minutes and basically noted that I didn't, and here we go. I just want to, it just made me think and kind of thank you, Lord, because it would have just been a headache right now. What do you, you know, money, tons of money, labor, all kinds of stuff to get it right. Whereas now, matter of a few days, I surrender that one. That one comes on board. I've already been recommended for certification for the new one. So the verse in James just came to mind. James chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So it's kind of a testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my wife, for kind of really, if she would have not been as on board, I probably would have just been like, I'm just going to risk it. Go for it. And I would have kind of had a problem right now. So thank you, Lord, for the wisdom to just make that decision. And yeah, that's what I have this morning. Welcome the worship team up, and I will pray as they come. Lord, just thank you again for today. And may we be prepared, if your spirit prepares to open our hearts to give you praise and be enriched through that experience of just standing in awe of you and giving us a proper perspective, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Would you stand and worship with us?
Thank you. soul is satisfied in Him alone.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Holy, holy, I want to see you.
Again, holy, holy.
thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who have gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Sing your name.
'Cause your name is the highest, your is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, we'll sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, oh,
back in the prayer room this morning, I had a thought running through my head, and it was, I don't know, maybe a basic thought, but it was just about the noise. Just the noise we hear from the world. Whatever that means to you today, there's noise around us that is pulling us away. Trying to grab our attention. And this song reminds me, it's His name is the highest. His name drowns out the noise. His name is the greatest. Whatever you're doing in your everyday life, it may not be a bad thing. What He has for you is greater. I don't understand how people can say there is no God. Creation itself proclaims there's a Creator, there's a God. God, thank You for today. Thank You for the reminder to me this morning. Let the noise go. Where's my focus? Get recentered. Focus on God. You're greater, God. You're greater than whatever is going on around us. God, I pray that Your name would be continually lifted high here this morning, that we would leave here today with a refreshed, with a renewed understanding of who You are, what You've done, what You are currently doing in me, through me, and for other people. God, thank You for who You are. God, we pray a blessing on everyone here this morning. We pray that Your name would be continually on their lips as they go out this week into the world, that they could be a blessing to every person that they come in contact with. They don't have to use words, God, just through their actions alone. God, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would anoint every person here today, that there would be a revival starting in this country, that it would go out from this church, from our community, that it wouldn't just be fake, but the world will see there is a real God, and it's because He is real. It's not because of verbiage that we are saying. It's because He's stronger than what's going on in our world. God, thank You for being here. Thank You. We pray that You would bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again. What does it look like? We've been talking a little bit this morning already about how to set aside the noise of the week. What does that look like? How do we say, what do you do to set aside the noise of the week to be able to focus on today? I think maybe it's a little bit different for everybody, but it's just an interesting thought on how do you prepare and how do you get ready for and how do you set aside the noise of the week to be able to hear this morning, but not just this morning, but be able to go into the next week and still be able to hear what the Lord is saying to us. We are going through the book of Acts, and we are going into Acts chapter 8 this morning. So why don't you stand up while we read, if you would like or if you're able. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 25 is where we're at this morning. So Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Father, thank you again for your word. I pray that as we look into it this morning, you would open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear what you have for us today. In your name we pray, amen. You can be seated. So last week we talked about the end of Stephen's life and the testimony that he shared, and not defending himself, but simply stating the truth and being willing to stand up for what was right, even in certain, when facing certain death. And so here is where Saul enters the picture. And it says Saul was consenting to his death, to Stephen's death. He was encouraging the stoning of Stephen. Saul didn't have anything good to say about the church and the things that were happening here in this day. In fact, he wanted to get rid of them as fast as he possibly could. And so this is what he begins doing. This was a time of great persecution for the church. But you know, it's interesting because when Jesus was walking on the earth and when he, right before he left, and he said in the end of Matthew and in the end of Mark, it's recorded, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, all of the people that where the church was starting here, they were all kind of still in one area, and there was really no reason for them to go anywhere. Except when Saul starts going door to door, knocking on their door. And if they proclaimed that they were a believer in Jesus Christ, he drug them out and threw them in prison. That apparently was a little bit of motivation for people to leave, to avoid spending time in prison. And so something that the enemy is using, what seemed to be bad, what seems to be persecution, which it was, God is taking and turning around and using it as a way to scatter people. And when people scattered, it didn't mean that they stopped believing. It didn't mean that they stopped knowing who Jesus was. No, they took that with them. And they shared that wherever they went. Saul is wreaking havoc on the church. Can you imagine not ever knowing when you're in your house if you're going to get a knock on the door and it might be somebody like Saul asking you pointedly, do you believe in Jesus? Knowing that if you give the answer yes, which I hope all of us would give, regardless of what the situation was, that if you give the answer yes, you're very likely to be thrown in prison. Can you imagine? We have no idea what that might be like. We can't, there's not really anything that we can compare that to of what that might be like. Because generally we don't feel threatened in our own homes. We usually feel fairly safe, I would hope, in our own homes. But these people were being persecuted heavily for believing in Jesus. And so Saul is wreaking havoc on the church. But you know what's really interesting is that as we move forward, we're going to see how God is using even this to build and to create Saul's testimony when he later becomes Paul. 1 Corinthians, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 9 through 11. This is Paul talking now, formerly Saul. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, what is happening in Acts when Saul is knocking on doors and dragging people out and throwing them in prison is becoming part of his testimony. It's becoming part of who he is and part of what he's going to do in the future. And he is stating in 1 Corinthians that he is the least of the apostles. Who am I? Who am I that God uses me to speak to people about Jesus because of what I've done in the past? And I think there's a lot of times that we can relate with that. Because of things that we've done in the past, we don't think that God could possibly want to use us or even care to. But the fact of the matter is, he does want to use you. And I would just go even farther to say, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what kind of life you lived in the past. God still would choose to use you if you're willing to be used. And I think we get hung up on that a lot in thinking that we aren't qualified. Well, if you think that you're not qualified, I will tell you to join the group, because that's exactly what I feel like most Sundays that I'm up here. But you know what? This is where God has placed me, and I want to be obedient and willing to continue doing what he has asked me to do. What is it that he's asked you to do? Not based on what your previous life was like, or not based on things that you may have done that were wrong, because we've all been there. Don't think that you're alone in that area. But you look at what Saul was doing. He turned a 180. We're going to get to it later in the book of Acts. But right now, he's persecuting the church. He is doing everything within his power, including encouraging the stoning of people that believe in Jesus. So don't tell me that God can't use you, because God's in the business of using broken people, because that's all he has to work with. What a way to spread the gospel. Romans 8:28 says, "For all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I don't know if when we are living and we're going about our everyday lives and things are somewhat comfortable or predictable, or we kind of know what to expect, do we? I don't want to sound like it's impossible, but do we grow? Do we continue to grow in our relationship with Christ? Because it seems like, from my experience, that when things are going well and nothing is out of the ordinary and nothing is uncomfortable, it's really easy to get maybe a little stale. The church was still new here in Acts. It's not very old. But God was not going to allow that to become stale. And it seems like that sometimes during times of frustration or irritation or stretching or uncertainty, we tend to rely on him maybe just a little bit more. Why is that? Why do we do that? I do the same thing, but why do we do that? Do we fully trust him or do we not fully trust him? Because when things get difficult, that sometimes is when we grow the most. And this is what's happening here with the church, is they're being persecuted, they're being threatened with prison, and so they start to scatter. What a way, what a plan for spreading the gospel to everybody. It's incredible to watch what the enemy was thinking was going to get rid of Christianity, was going to get rid of who those people that believed in Jesus, but instead it exploded. And the interesting thing is we still see seeing it happen today. We still see it happening today. Sorry. Maybe not in our country, but you hear in other countries where they can't meet, they have to meet in hiding, but they still do. And the church is growing like crazy. Why do we have to wait until persecution or hard times or difficult time comes to grow in our faith? Can we not do it today? Can we not do it now? We were reading a little devotional book the other night about the voice of the martyrs, and it has stories. I think I've shared out of this before, but it has stories of different people that have gone through just crazy hard. We have no idea what difficult is. A person had moved out of his village, and he went to a big city because he wanted to experience life, and he went to a church service, but he went there because he thought there was going to be free food. But he heard a message. He heard one sermon. One sermon. And the conviction was laid on his heart so strong to go right back to his village and tell everybody he knew about Jesus. One sermon. How many have we heard? And what do we do with it? If we keep going, Philip goes to the city of Samaria to preach Christ. Now, this was not a common thing that they would go to Samaria. The Jews from Jerusalem would go to Samaria. This wasn't a common practice because they didn't get along at all. Because the Samaritans were people that maybe had intermarried with some of the Jews, and so they were half Jew, half Gentile, and the people in Jerusalem did not like them. They didn't get along with them. But it was a good reminder that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And he doesn't specify one race over another or one city or one country over another. It just says the world. And also in the Great Commission, it says, "Go ye into all nations and preach the gospel." And I thought it was interesting that it's pointing out that Philip went to Samaria to preach the gospel, because he's changing the thought process that Jews and Samaritans don't get along, because they didn't get along. But you know what? Christ was for everybody. The gospel was for everybody, and he was willing to take it even to the people that they didn't get along with at all. And it was amazing what happened there. People started coming to the Lord. Philip ends up sharing Christ with the people in Samaria, showing that the relationship with the Samaritans should be different because of Jesus. Set differences aside and let's focus on who Jesus is. And we still have to do that today. And it's not because we are different nationalities, but more times than not, it's often because we're different denominations. And can we set our differences aside as long as we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has gone back to the Father, he has died and taken our sins away? There's certain things, as long as we believe that, we can agree to disagree on some other things maybe. But can we set some of those little petty differences aside, share the gospel with somebody? Because this is exactly what Philip is doing in the city of Samaria, and he's sharing the gospel there. It isn't our job to judge or choose who deserves to hear about Christ. It's not our job to to judge or choose who deserves to hear about Christ. It's not why we're here. The reason we're here is to share Christ. He didn't say who. He didn't say just certain people. Go ye into all nations, preach the gospel. Our job isn't to judge. Our job isn't to choose. Our job is to simply share the gospel. I say simply, yet sometimes that can be the most difficult thing that we do. But that is not our job. We are to go and we are to share. So here we enter Simon. It starts talking about Simon the sorcerer. And he had practiced sorcery, which was not an uncommon thing in this day. And he had some power from a different source. But you know, this is not uncommon. And in Matthew, I want to read a couple verses out of Matthew that talks about things like this that would happen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 through 25. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. There were going to be people. Jesus said there were going to be people that were going to come. They were going to do great and wonderful signs, and people were going to be deceived because of them. And I wonder if this Simon the sorcerer was not one of these people. So it wasn't uncommon. But what's really interesting to me is that even with the success that Simon had, when he saw the power of God, it was no match to what he had been experiencing. And even as successful as he was, and people came to him and he drew crowds and he was able to do miracles, it just wasn't because of Jesus. That when Jesus came, when Jesus was preached, even Simon was drawn to that. We heard a couple weeks ago, it was mentioned something about when you think of the opposite of Jesus, what do you think about? And the first thing that would pop into your mind would be Satan. And the answer to that would be, no, that is not correct, because there is no opposite of Jesus. There is nobody that even compares to who he is. There is nobody that even compares to the even close to the amount of power that our God has. So Simon, in the whatever he was dealing with and the miracles and the power that he was working with, when he saw the power of Jesus Christ, that was attractive to even him. And I think that goes to show and to prove just how great and how powerful the God that we serve is. Do we realize that? God's power is greater than any other. There is nobody that even comes close. There is nothing that is even remotely similar to that. So they're preaching. Philip is preaching in Samaria. People are coming to know the Lord. Simon, even the sorcerer, he even comes to know the Lord and is following Philip. Peter and John decide that they should probably go to Samaria to see what all is happening, because they're hearing some good things happening. So they go down to Samaria. Now these people were receiving Christ, but they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit as of yet. And so when Peter and John came down, that was one of the things that they came to do, was they, and according to Scripture, it's scriptural to lay hands on people and pray for them, that they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Simon is still around during this time, and he sees what is happening. And he sees the apostles come and lay hands on them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants what they have. He wants what they have, which is where we should probably all be if we don't have it. Except that Simon is still thinking carnally. And he's thinking, if I could just purchase this, where in the world would he get the idea you could buy it? Except that everything else in our world today that we do, there's some kind of transaction that happens. So Simon asked the apostles, hey, what does he say? Give me, He offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. I think there was he was partially right in wanting to receive the Holy Spirit. He just went about it the wrong way. Because it wasn't something you could buy. It was not something you could buy. It was something that was freely given. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And here it says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. It can be hard to understand how salvation, how the gift of the Holy Spirit, how this can be free. Because there's nothing in life that's ever free, or so it seems. There's a lot of people that really struggle with this being free. Everything we do usually involves some sort of payment. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus has already taken care of that payment for you and for me. He died one time to pay. If we want to know what it cost Jesus everything. But he was more than willing to do it for each one of us. So the payment, the transaction that happened was taken care of by Jesus. And now as we have freely received, we should also freely give. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I think this is where Simon had found himself. Simon had found himself wanting to accept what Christ had offered, wanting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, wanting to be able to lay hands on and transfer that to other people. But I think he was caught in a lie. And the apostles rebuked him and said, no, this can't happen. You can't buy it. This is not something that you're going to buy. But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. See, we can have some good intentions, but if we don't know what the truth is, we need to know what the truth is. And Simon was trying to understand what the truth is, but he'd been doing, I feel like he'd been doing something for so long that he was very new in understanding who Jesus was and what this Holy Spirit was all about. And his first thought was, I can buy it. I'm going to try to buy it. I can't buy it. Freely you have received, freely give. The only way to receive God's gift is to repent, to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the only way that this happens. We're going to have a special song here in just a little bit. If you guys want to get ready, I know you're all excited about that. But a couple of things to take from this morning. Can we not wait until things get difficult in our life to grow our faith? We don't want to have to wait until there's a threat of somebody pounding on our door and asking us to renounce who Jesus is, because I won't do it. I said last week, can we make up our mind that we're going to stand on the truth so that when the time comes that we have to stand on the truth, our mind's already made up. Another one is that we can learn from what Philip did. Philip went to Samaria. The gospel's for everybody. The gospel is not specific to anyone. The gospel is a free gift to everybody. And the last one to remember is that God, the God that we serve, is all-powerful, even more powerful than our enemy, our adversary. So even when Simon, in the life that he was living, saw the power of Christ, he too was drawn by that. Do we recognize that's the powerful God that we serve? That's who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He will always be the same. And we can count on that, and we can rely on that. If you guys want to come up. Father, thank you for your love this morning. I just pray that as we go about our week, you would help us to be bold in sharing your love with people. Lord, we get to hear a message week after week, and the question comes back to, what do we do with it? Lord, help us to remember what we've heard. Help us to remember to apply to our lives the things that you have showed us today. We love you, Father, and we thank you for your blessings. Pray that you would guide our week and all the things we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Your heart.
Everybody have a good week. You can be dismissed.